Jean Gallagher with Discover Rising Tides. And I hope you enjoy the show as much as I did. Cherie Walston is an amazing mentor and teacher, and she leads by example. Have you ever felt guilty about saying no? Well, then you need to listen to this show, because Cherie talks about setting boundaries and say no without guilt. And saying no is not a bad thing. It creates time and space for you. So listen to the show, give us feedback, and reach out to Cherie. Her contact information will be in the show too. Thanks for listening.
Hi, Denise.
Hi, Jean.
So this month's topic is fitness over 50. And so what are we talking about in this segment?
Today we are going to talk about flexibility and mobility. So often especially as women, we really focus on cardio. We love cardio. We love to walk. We love to jog. We like to bike. We like to get on our elliptical. And I tell you, I am totally guilty. I've got my treadmill. I've got my elliptical. I've got my bike all in my exercise room. And if you think about it, those are the things that I really want to do. Well, walking is great. You know, running is great for cardio again. And some of it does help with mobility. Doesn't necessarily help with flexibility, because when we are doing these repetitive exercises, we're actually shortening our muscles and our tendons. And so after a workout, you're supposed to stretch after a workout, right? Because your muscles are going, okay, I've just run for 3 miles. And like, they're going, oh my God, what are you doing to me? And they're shrinking. So by stretching them, we are getting our flexibility back. Because at this stage in life, you know, I'm not as flexible as I was when I was 18. I used to be able to dance and kick my head over my leg over my head.
Your feet over your head.
I tried that. Woo-hoo. Guys, I can't even get it as high as my desk. The challenge with the flexibility, if we're not flexible, or as we lose flexibility, you know, we can't stand as straight as we used to. Bending becomes a challenge. You know, we've talked about this before, like bending to tie your shoe or even put your shoe on. I'm going to throw my mom under the bus for a second. I spent 10 days with my mom, and she's 82. So I'm going to cut her some slack. And she can't put her shoes on. You know, she has to sit down, but she can't bend over. Mm-hmm. So she has this huge shoehorn that's about this long.
Oh yeah.
And that's the only way she can get her shoes on. Now, I give her a lot of credit because she's still doing it. She's doing really great. Especially, at 82, a lot of people are starting to find themselves where they're not functioning, and they're just can't do the daily function. So by remaining flexible now, or working on that flexibility and that stability, because they come hand in hand, you will be able to continue the things that you want to do, you know, the next year, the next 5 years, the next 30 years. And mobility, one of the things that I think is really interesting, I've seen a few times now on Instagram, is there's a guy who's standing, and he gets down on the floor and he stands back up. And I thought about that. When's the last time I got down on the floor and stood back up without leaning on a table or a chair? And I thought, can I do that? And I struggled. And so that mobility piece, like, the commercial, I've fallen and I can't get up. We don't want to find ourselves in that situation. So by doing these exercises, and I can provide you with a link to a bunch of different flexibility and mobility exercises, by doing them now and incorporating them into our daily routine, whether it's 5 minutes of stretching. One thing that I do, the first thing I wake up in the morning, I have a towel that's rolled up, and I put my foot up against it, and I stretch my hamstrings. Well, not only I can literally feel it from my ankle all the way to my bum. It's an incredible stretch. We don't do that. And I do that when, as soon as I get up, because this makes my morning a lot more, I'm a lot more energized because I'm moving. I'm not going, oh gosh, my aching back or my leg or everything's so tight. And that's one of the biggest complaints that we have as we get older. You know, we're sore all the time. You know, I can't, you know, the hip that my hip doesn't do this, or I can't move my knee that way. 90% of the time, it's because we are not stretching and we're not doing mobility exercises. And these are some of the things that we can do to avoid ending up in assisted living facilities. And from what I understand, people are going to them later and later. But I don't know about you. I'm going to try to avoid that at all costs. And so
And
that's really what I want people to understand.
being able to move is so important. And it's something we take for granted because it's something that we do. But as you pass the 50 and you move up to the other decades after that, you realize you don't want to turn around and go, well, if I had just.
So true. It's true. And, you know, as we get older, we're not in those situations where, you know, we're playing sports or we're on a dance team, like I was when I was, you know, all through college. So at the, you know, before practice, we had our, you know, our warm-up routine. We did practice. We did whatever, you know, whatever the dance routine was, or if I was fencing, we practiced. And then at the end, we stretched and cooled down. We don't do that very much as adults. I see it all the time when I do go to the gym. People finish a run, they go do their weights, and then they're walking out the door. Or they'll come in to the gym and they're gonna jump on the treadmill or get on the elliptical. And the first thing they do is they grab their leg and yank it and pull it behind them. And I think, oh my goodness, you know, they're not even warmed up yet. Their poor muscles are, you know, yes, they're tight, but you also have to make sure that they are warmed up before we are doing some of these stretching exercises. So I do want to make sure to mention that, because that is an important part of stretching and flexibility.
Yeah, and it covers we've talked a lot about a lot during these segments. We've talked about weight loss and bone density and metabolism and exercise and movement and the importance of muscle mass. And I think that the ability to move and stretch really rounds that out. So thank you very much for bringing that up and as a great reminder too. Do that.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. This is Jean Gallagher, Discover Rising Tides, and I want to just take a moment to talk about my friend, Denise Tagal. I am honored to call her as a friend, and I'm so grateful that she gives us her insight during our shows, each show, and talks about healthy living, eating real food. You hear Denise say, eat real food a lot. Well, she means it, and she knows what she's talking about. She is an amazing healthy living coach, curator at Living Healthy List. And if you ever have any questions about what is real food? Why does it matter? How does that apply to me? How do I change? What do I need to do? How do I even create a sh healthy living shopping list? Make sure that you call her. She is your healthy living coach. And you can find her at healthylivinglist.com. Hello and welcome back. And I'm excited to introduce our guest, Sherry Walson. Hi, Sherry. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you, Jean?
I'm great. I'm so excited to have you here. And before we get started, let me just give a quick rundown on your background and then we'll dive right in. And so Sherry is a seasoned human resources development professional with a ni rich 19-year history of catalyzing success across various roles, including training manager, corporate trainer, and leadership coach. In 2018, Sherry pivoted from her corporate path to launch her, in capital letters, Exit Solutions, a coaching enterprise dedicated to empowering high-achieving women leaders and entrepreneurs to assertively say no without guilt. We need to talk about that part for sure. And paving the way for a true work-life harmony and greater achievements. And Sherry's infectious enthusiasm for life is matched by her talents as an inspirational speaker and a work and life mentor. She's also acclaimed author of Her Exit Strategy, The Working Woman's Freedom Plan to Live Your Big Vision. When not mentoring or speaking, Sherry indulges her passion for golf, unwinds with smooth jazz, and quenches her thirst for adventure through travel. So, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here, Jean.
Oh, I'm so happy. And there's a lot to unpack here. So give us a, let's talk a little bit about your background, because I always like to talk about the transition from corporate to the real world. I did it too. And as I like to say, the real world. And tell us a lot about that and what really drove you to that to get you where you are today.
Sure. I would see myself lots of times as a guiding light, how I envision myself showing up in the world. When you do some of these assessments sometimes, about your personality, what you're good at, and guiding light always seems to show up. And people always say, you always just seem to be so happy and your smile all the time. And I believe it was a divine intervention in my life where I am today. I've always had a passion for personal development, and I was always hungry to grow and to learn and then to figure out what is it that I really wanted to do in the world. I knew I wanted to show up, doing something impactful and great. And I always had this passion for helping women. But I got into my career because I love helping people grow and develop. And I love helping people shift and reaching their goals. And so I decided to pursue a career in human resources development and training. And that's where it all began, being a trainer and also volunteering. And I found myself volunteering when I lost my job, just new in my career, and the company went through a transition. And I questioned, like, God, I thought I was on the right path. I thought this was my purpose. But what I realized, there was an extension of who I was, and I needed to discover that. And I began volunteering in that transitional period at a women's resource center. And I found myself helping other women who were going through their own transition. And I became a peer counselor while I was still working. I was still looking for a job. I was volunteering for this women's resource center. And that's where I discovered the power of coaching. Didn't realize I was really doing that even as a trainer, but it really came alive for me. And that's how I got into coaching and got my certification. And the doors just opened up for me. And I just had this passion for helping women overcome their perceived limitations. Because what I was dealing with in my own personal life was I was starting to lose some of my vision. And I kept that quiet. So I understood what it felt like to have this big vision about a big vision for your life, but yet you're in this transitional period. You're trying to figure things out. You're trying to overcome your own perceived limitations. And so here I am today. I worked in corporate training, leadership training. And then when I transitioned out of the corporate arena, I decided that I want to do this full time, and I wanted to be a work and a life mentor for high achieving women leaders and entrepreneurs, helping them to say no without guilt so they can accomplish more and really find true work-life harmony.
I love that. And that's amazing. And so a couple of things before we go on, I want to just touch on. I love what you said about perceived limitations. How true is that?
Oh my gosh. I
We
think
all do it.
we all do it. We really do. We all have these perceived limitations about things that we think we can't do or things that we will not be able to overcome. Yeah.
And it's an interesting thing when, if you're emotionally, when you have been laid off, let go, whatever the term you want to use, no longer employed unexpectedly, emotionally, that really does set us back. And I think what really separates you from so many people is that you had the the drive, or you already used the word hungry, you had that drive to do something rather than just sit around and wait for the new job to come around, and you really applied yourself. And I wonder if you got more out of your volunteering for yourself, right? Then I know you gave a lot to the people, but you must have really gathered so much for yourself, self-confidence, and just learning from others, right?
Oh my goodness, Jean. It was like, it's so interesting because in that transitional period of dealing with the layoff, dealing with the visual impairment, and quite frankly, dealing with the unhealthy marriage. So I had like triple whammy. And but I noticed when I went to volunteer at this Women's Resource Center, I lost myself in my own worries and things that I was dealing with. I was so focused on the women and listening to their stories and wanting to help. And it felt so good. I would leave this place and I come home and I felt so fulfilled and excited about going the next day. I forgot about my own problems.
No, woe is
It was
me.
amazing. I loved it. And I said to myself, gosh, this is really what I love to do. And so it really took me out of my own pain, focusing on how can I be of service? How can I help others move beyond their perceived limitations?
I
And
think
that
that's a Oh, sorry. No, that's just such an important message, is because so quite often we can be wallowing in our situation, and valid as it is, whether it could be a health situation or a job situation, or in valid that you feel that way. So I don't want to say that how you feel is not important and invalid, because it is true. But you're lifting yourself up by helping others.
I think that's I think that was an eye opener for me. It was an aha moment. And I was already experiencing that in the corporate arena as well. I felt so passionate about what I was doing. When I would watch, I would say a leader who I was teaching them, I think it was called train the trainer skills. I was doing train the trainer back then. And I can remember having this leader who was so afraid and in their shell, like, I can't do this. I won't be able to train, my employees. And I watch how empathetic I was. I noticed how empathetic I was in listening and empowering her and showing her what was possible and coaching her and mentoring her. And it was, and then to see how she flourished. That was just, I mean, I was so excited about that. Just watching her grow and develop. And I love what I did. It wasn't work. So, Jean, I really felt like that's what I was called to do. I felt it in my body and just when I showed up.
And I love that you found it when you least expected it. That's really important. That's when you know it's true and it's not something that you've envisioned or made up. It is truly in your soul. And
I
so
think
as oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I realized even in my own pain, dealing with the visual impairment, that I looked at it, Jean, as a gift.
How so?
How can I use this? Okay, there has to be something good to come from this. So what can I do with it? And again, that is to show others how to overcome your obstacles and your challenges.
How hard was it for you to come to that understanding?
My faith helped me. So I For me, personal development, reading a lot. I read a lot of personal development books, and I could see myself in some of those stories. And I realized this was something that I needed to do for myself. And I challenged myself. I said, I'm not going to let this hold me back and take over my life. I'm going to do something with it. I'm going to show others what's possible. Was I scared? Heck yeah. But I would say I learned how to walk courageously. I had fear, but I stepped out in courage.
And that becomes that wanting. You use the word service, and for me, that word service is really very important because it demonstrates that you're there for someone else versus there for your own benefit.
Yes. Perfectly said. And I think that's where for me, that's where the reward came.
And so as you've transitioned into your new the extension of yourself or your new self, and you talk about permission for saying no without guilt. How did that come about as a realization or a practice?
That was a hard lesson. And I had to learn that I watched myself, when I was growing up and wanted to be a people pleaser, wanted to be liked. So I had, I would always say yes to doing things that I really I don't want to do. And that's just to be liked, to be accepted. And so I realized that when I was doing those things, that it really wasn't serving who I was and what I was here to do. And as I began to really grow in my career and having my business on the side, my coaching business, sometimes I would take on projects or people ask me to do something and come and speak. I said, oh, yes, that sounds wonderful. But then I realized it was really taking me further away from what I was really here to do, what my goals were. But I was afraid to say no. What if I say no? Will they like me? Will they accept me? And I had to learn how to be more in alignment with Cherie and what Cherie's vision and her goals were. And to be okay, I'm saying no so that I can say yes to my time, my energy, and yes to the things that really mattered to me. And so when I began to practice that saying no and not feeling bad about it and not really having to over-explain, but maybe be transparent, this is why I'm not going to be able to do this. I have a lot either on my plate, or it's not in alignment with my goals at this time. So it became easier to say no. And now I don't feel bad. No, I won't be able to do it. And I'm okay with it.
This is hard.
Very.
That's all I'm going to say. This
I
is
had
really
to
hard.
say no to my mother. Let me tell you. My mother, she likes to, I don't want to call her a hoarder, but she loves nice things. And sometimes she wants to pack things in my garage. Okay. So that was really hard to tell my mother no more. And I had to set boundaries. And it didn't go over well. But I stuck to my guns. And I felt like if I can stand up to my mother, who
You're
I
all set.
respect, I
You
can
are
do
all
this
set.
thing.
Part of that ability to say no, does it come from you said knowing what you're here to do. So as you're working with executives and highly achieving women, do you do do they do you find that there's a disconnect between knowing what you're really here for and the ability to and the reason that you're saying yes so much. Is there a disconnect, or is that it has to be a learned trait, yes?
It is, Jane, I think for me, it was really understanding your personal vision. What do you want? That was really key. That was the aha moment for me when I had a personal vision for my life, and I aligned that personal vision with the career, the job choices. And I realized being in alignment, aligning my career choices along with my personal vision, it made it easier. I became very clear why I'm here. And even when sometimes, in corporate America, it could get crazy, and some days I'm like, oh my God, why am I here? But I go back to my personal vision. This is what I was here to do. This is why this is the kind of impact that I want to make. So when I'm very clear about that, then I can align everything that I did in my workspace with
I
my
love
vision.
the fact that you're having these conversations because there's a separate there's a definite delineation between your corporate life and your personal life, right? And never the twain will meet. And what you're saying is that your personal vision actually, or you're teaching people that their personal vision encroaches to their corporate life in order to empower them.
Yes. Yes.
That's powerful. We should all sit with that for a few minutes. And so let's talk about boundaries. I don't understand them. Okay, so this is my one-on-one coaching session. Forget the podcast. Or I don't understand. Boundaries are very difficult for me. Do you find that that's normal for people that it's, I don't know where they are.
They're very normal, and I think it's because there's so many reasons, common reasons why I think boundaries are difficult for people, and they feel guilty, about, maybe not setting boundaries, or they don't know how. And I think most some of the One of the things is fear of disappointing others. I think that's a big one, disappointing others. Oh, I don't want to disappoint them. I don't want to make them feel bad. And another would be perfectionism as well. I think when we say no to something, we feel like that we are failures. We're failing in some kind of way. We're not holding ourselves to our own high standards, if you will. Another, I think, boundaries too. I think social expectations. And especially for women, we're known to be nurturers and caregivers, and so we're expected to do all these things, hold all these balls in the air, and be superwoman, so to speak. And so we don't we maybe we saw our mothers doing that, family member or something like that, holding all the balls in the air. So I think there's lots of different things, and even in the corporate space, the workspace, where if we say no, how would that look? What will people say? What will people think if I say no?
Especially as a
Something,
female.
especially as a female, oh, she's being difficult. Now she becomes labeled. She's uncooperative, so to speak.
And a male in that similar situation saying no would say, well, he's doing what he's supposed to be doing.
Exactly. So I think there are so many different factors, and even our self-worth sometimes, and our values are tied into to always being there for other people, doing things for other people, and really not taking care of ourselves.
That's interesting. Yeah, that self-care piece is really very important. And so I say that I'm not good with boundaries. However, this year, the end of last year, so it's not a New Year's resolution because I'm not a fan. By February, the New Year's resolutions are out the door, and we just need to just make some guidelines. And so the end of last year, I made a decision that my workday wouldn't start until 10 a.m. because, and that, so now I'm learning that I set it a boundary, right? And because I have specific things that are going to happen personally prior to 10 a.m. And no matter what, that has to be the, there's always an exception, but that has to be the rule. And then if it doesn't happen, it is an exception. And it felt good. When I first decided it, I'm like, well, you know, but if something comes up, I'll just do the thing, the work thing. But once I started enforcing's a rough word, a powerful word, but when I started enforcing this calendar and this schedule and this time, I feel like I should have done it a long time ago.
That's interesting, what you just said. I should have done it long time ago. Instead of maybe celebrating, you did it, Jean.
Now there you go. Yes, that you good point. Good point.
You did it.
Let me rephrase that. I'm glad I made the decision and I put it into place. Thank you.
Yes, there you go. There you go. Say it with empowerment. Yeah. And I celebrate you with that because that can be hard. And I think that's a challenge for a lot of high achieving women, that we aren't setting those type of boundaries, our work schedules. So now you find yourself, you're staying late on the job, or you're coming in early, and are you taking calls after hours, emails, you're still working. You haven't set those boundaries. And so now you're burned out, you're worn out, and you're overwhelmed.
And there's a level of guilt in there. There's that level of guilt because you know you should be just doing something on the personal side of your life, but then when you do something on the personal side of your life, there's that guilt of what you perceive is your responsibility on the business side.
Exactly. It's interesting that we're talking about that because I read something, one of a someone, one of my LinkedIn connections talked about being a very successful entrepreneur, and her son said to her, and she works from home, her son said, "Mom, I never see you." And she thought, "Really? I work from home." She said, "I'm here." He said, "Your laptop is always open and you're always on the phone."
Oh, wow.
Wow. And that was an eye opener for her. And so she made a huge shift.
Wow. And so as you're talking with women in your coaching sessions, what are some of the common themes that they're over trying or learning how to overcome?
Saying no. That's a huge one. What I see common is not really taking care of their own needs, following up on their own goals and their visions. Everybody is calling them to do this and to do that, and they just, for some reason, I think what it is and what I'm learning is, as women, we love to help and support. And that could be a curse and a blessing too. And so this particular, client that I'm working with, everybody is pulling on her, and she feels the need to help. And she said, "Well, I love helping everybody." But what's happening is everybody knows that she loves and she's going to do it. And she doesn't know how to say no. But we've been working on that. And she's like, you'd be so proud of me. I said no to, about certain things. She said, I understand now the power of that. And now she's having more time and energy to put into her business more and also do some more fun things. But before, she was doing everything for family members, doing their financial things for them, all these different things that people could be doing for themselves. But because you say yes, and you're the only, and you seem to be the only one who will do it, people just keep coming to you.
You know, something that you've said through this conversation is kind of like an aha moment for me. And so I want to thank you first, but that you've used the term, you know, the words personal vision a few times, and I never connected until now the how your personal vision should be connected to your ability to say no without guilt, which also leads towards self-care. And
Yes.
how connected in this circle these three things are for people. And I think that this is a really, well, for me, it's a really great takeaway.
Wonderful. Yeah, I think that really it has helped me make some healthy choices around what I do. It has helped me to do more of the things that I enjoy doing. It has helped with my emotional and mental wellness. And that's really important for me.
So how do you take care of yourself as you to show up for show up as your genuine self helping others? How does Cherie take care of herself?
Well, I teach this when I was doing a self-care intensive challenge for high achieving women. Finding your peace spot. I created a peace spot, and especially right after the pandemic when we were on lockdown. I thought, oh my God, I'm not going to be in the house all day. So I redid my patio and I created my peace spot. And in that peace spot is where I go and where I just sit. I get quiet. I feel the wind on my skin. I feel gratitude. I take my journal there. I may pray, or sometimes I just be still, meditate, or do deep breathing. And I think it's important that we find these little peace spots wherever we can. You can create that in your home somewhere, a sacred spot where that you can rejuvenate, where you can restore, and where you can take care of your emotional and your mental wellness. So a lot of those things that I create, and when it's winter time, I create that by my fireplace in my living room. My sh peace spot shifts to the indoors. So those are the things that I do, and I think what's really important for me is finding activities that I love. I love to play golf. Oh my goodness. That is probably the most amazing thing that I could do for myself. I know it probably sounds crazy because I used to think, who would want to hit a little ball in a hole that's stupid? And when I learned how to play, I thought, oh my God, I get it.
What does it do for you?
It's, interesting. Thank you for asking. That's another way how to learn how to overcome your challenges. Because when you're out there on that golf course, you're trying to navigate that ball straight down the fairway. And it helps me also realize how beautiful life is when I look out there on the golf course on a beautiful sunny day. And I just love the challenge. I love the challenge of it. Yeah.
And so obviously the outdoors, you're playing golf outdoors, and that the
Yes.
outdoors and your peace spot when the weather cooperates is outside. Do you find, as you're talking with other women through your coaching process, that they are there's a need for them to be outdoors in some manner that they might not be taking advantage of.
Yes, like walking. I love to be in nature. I love beautiful parks. Oh my goodness, just the botanical parks. That used to be, especially when I was in corporate America, I would take my lunch breaks. I would drive to botanical park and I would sit there. I would have my lunch there and just be in awe of nature. And that really also helped me with my well-being and my emotional stability. So I think outdoors is so key. I am an outdoor person. Even if I'm just sitting outdoors, it's a blessing for me. So I think it is important to be
Yeah.
outdoors.
And there's different levels of, we talk about this a lot, but there's so many different levels of being outdoors. And I think one part that you brought up that doesn't happen as often as we would think is the just being. Be especially because we're so driven by our electronics, and this is probably just me confessing something. but I know there's other people that feel this way. It's almost very difficult to sit still outside and not be attached to your phone in some way, to
That's
just
true.
be.
That can be a challenge. I know sometimes I will take my phone outdoors with me, but I will put it on what's silent or mute. So when I know there's certain time, if I want to spend an hour of maybe doing nothing, or I may read, I won't answer my phone. And most of the times I will let, especially my mother, because she's 87 years old. So I may let her know, Mom, this is my time that I'm going to be doing, so I will not be available.
And so here's this personal vision, and this permission to say no without guilt is here in this moment where you've decided that you're going to sit outside and read your book or be quiet. And if somebody calls you, you're saying no to the phone call without guilt because it fits within your personal vision and your need for self-care at the time. See, this is, I'm so glad we talked. This is amazing.
It is, because I can recall my mom, she's retired now, but my mom was an entrepreneur for about 40 years. So I watched my mom growing up, not really taking breaks, just a hard worker. Didn't I don't recall her even going on vacation or doing something nice for herself or going to the spa. That just wasn't her. She was passionate about her work, what she loved. And so she poured herself into that. So sometimes I can remember she would frown on me. What, you taking vacation? You guys always going somewhere. It was always kind of like a little dig, if you will, about something, if I'm relaxing. And I'm thinking to myself, this is, I don't want to live my life where I'm always working and I'm not taking care of myself. And sometimes we would go on vacation. We visit my brother, and she's just piddling around, have to find something to do. And then she'll say, then I would leave the room or something and go away out on the screened-in porch. And I'll sit there in quiet contemplation. And everybody thought something was wrong with me. I was depressed. But that's the way that I took care of myself. I would steal away for a while and I would just sit in gratitude, or sometimes I sit out there and dream, have a glass of wine, but it was a sacred space for me. And they had to learn that about me instead of thinking something was wrong.
I love that. I love that.
I think we all need that quiet, quiet.
Sri, this has been a pleasure. It's been such a, I've learned so much, and it's been such a wonderful conversation. I want to thank you immensely for being here with us today.
Oh, it's been fun. The time went by so
I
fast.
know.
Oh
That's
my gosh. Had a great time.
Thank you. And so where can people find you? And where can they find you? What are your typical, I know we've talked about high achieving women, but what are your typical client base? And what are some triggers that they might be thinking that says, oh, I really should be talking with Sheree?
Sure. Some of the triggers are when you find yourself overwhelmed, or you feel burnt out, or you just feel like this emptiness that you're not really living to your full potential. And maybe, what is my vision for what I want right now in this season in my life? It has to be more than this. And they have this deep desire and yearning for something. So I have this free guide. It's called Mastering the Art of Saying No Without Guilt, and it's for high achieving women leaders. So that's a free guide that they can get from my website, CherieWalston.com, all together, CherieWalston.com. And they can get that
Wonderful.
free guide. Yes. And they can find me on LinkedIn as well. Connect with me on LinkedIn, Cherie
Great.
Walston.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure, Jean.
Thank you so much for listening today. Today's show is sponsored by Seaside Solutions, my financial services company. As a business owner, it's easy to be pulled in many different directions, and often taking care of yourself plummets to the bottom of the list. For me, I find myself outside to reground. My time outdoors helps me manage my day more effectively and be more present for my clients. Through this, Discover Rising Tides was born. At Seaside Solutions, we truly believe that education is the foundation of financial wellness. Our primary focus is to provide guidance that is designed to help you achieve your long-term financial goals and visions. Working with a plan allows space for doing more things that you love, like being outside to make the inside better. If I can help you create or realign your plan, or if you would like to be added to my weekly newsletter, please let me know. This week's topic was 5 ways to set more achievable goals. Your referral means the big, beautiful world to me. And if I can help, please let me know. And thank you so much for listening, and see you next time.